Thank you, UK. Okay, so we have one more item on our agenda for the morning, and that is a briefing from the Domain Name Association on a few topics identified by the GAC. So if I can just invite colleagues from the DNA to come and sit at the front, I think that's the easiest thing to do. Okay. Okay, so let's begin. We have had previous briefings from the DNA to inform us about the existence of this new association. Here they are again. To present to us on a few topics of relevance to the GAC's discussions this week. So who shall I hand over to? Okay, so Kurt Pritz to my right will kick things off. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Heather. Hello, everyone. These DNA members are delighted to be here today. Our purpose is to introduce ourselves as a valuable source of industry information, marketplace information, technical information to inform your policy discussions. We think we're valuable in that regard because of our depth of expertise and our diversity. And when I say diversity, I mean diversity of geography, diversity of business segment, and expertise. And I think that, you know, that diversity will also make the DNA a really valuable and important place for future policy development, such as enhancing protections in domain names, and we intend to pursue that. Also, reflecting on the discussions we've had in leading up to this presentation, we think that it might be valuable to provide the GAC with a written report sometime after this meeting on the state of the industry. So at the end of our presentation, if you agree with that, let us know. And while we only have a half an hour, we hope there's time for some questions. So I want to introduce the agenda. So can I have the next slide, please? Thanks very much. So Adrian Canderas is the chairman of the Domain Name Association and CEO of ARI Registry Services. He's going to provide a brief introduction to the Domain Name Association for those of you who aren't fully across it. And then, as Heather mentioned, we worked out this agenda beforehand, and our first topic will be emerging trends in trademark and abuse protections. And for that topic, John Nevitt of Donuts, co-founder of Donuts, will provide a registry operator perspective, one of the new registry operators. Jeff Eckhaus of RightSide will provide what we have here is a registrant protection. So RightSide, as you know, is a registrar and a registry operator. And the registrars have interface with customers, with registrants. And we thought it'd be useful for you to know how registrants are dealing with the new trademark protections and the changes in the environment with new GTLDs. Then Nick Wood of Validaeus, and also a representative of many brands, will be presenting a trademark owner perspective on the new protections. And then lastly, we've been asked to give our perspectives on the IANA oversight transitions. And so Alex Blowers of Nominet will give a CCTLD perspective, and I will give a perspective from the GTLD side. So that's our agenda. And Adrian, if you would take over and give us an introduction to the DNA.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kurt. I don't anticipate taking too long to give an introduction to the Domain Name Association. We have done this a number of times before, but we think we're unique. And I should say, first and foremostly, we are outside of ICANN. Our groups... Am I on the right slide here? Kurt, can we go back a slide? Sorry. Whoever's controlling the slides. We are outside the ICANN construct. We are made up of those participating in the value chain within the provisioning and management of domain names. We are the one tent in town where whether you are a CCTLD or a GTLD, you get to come in under and discuss the issues that affect you. So we think we're unique in that way. And as Kurt already said, the diversity we have by way of business models, geography, language, is celebrated and encouraged. Are we missing a slide? Can I get the next slide, please? Okay, looks like we're missing one. That's okay. I will just keep making it up as I go along. Really, we want to take this opportunity today to present to the GAC, to make ourselves an available resource to the members here, to give you some insights that potentially you wouldn't get within some of the other groups within the ICANN realm. So this is our first foray into doing so and something we'd like to make a regular practice. Onto this slide. So really two major themes come up when you talk about the DNA and our role of late. And that is about universal awareness of domain names and the universal acceptance of domain names. And both the challenges that we're continuing to push and see becoming more prevalent in today's environment. Next slide.
Go back one. Yeah, there's something in between.
All right, we're missing slides. Good. Don't worry about the slides. Listen to my Australian accent and be wowed, as you are with Peter's. There are three major pillars of the Domain Name Association with the role we perform, one being technical, one being marketing, and one being policy. And really right now we're trying to find a good balance between how we represent each of those pillars. We certainly don't want to be seen only as a political organisation, but certainly with respect to the IANA transition, we see that that is something that we're very much focused on right now. Marketing and technical have also stepped up with respect to creating awareness around domain names and their use and utility on the internet. And so we're pushing hard with the nexus we're at the moment with the onset of new GTLDs and the potential consumer awareness and confusion that may well come out of that for the DNA to play a role in promoting domain names and indeed the onset of these new alternatives that are out in the market. And we are not confident that ICANN is playing a strong enough role in this, and so the Domain Name Association is certainly stepping up to ensure that consumers are informed as I said, this nexus. Finally, from a technical perspective, we see our role as not necessarily getting in and rolling our sleeves up to solve technical problems with respect to domain names, that whether that be IDNs working on email or indeed the new GTLDs resolving in browsers. We see ourselves more as a curator of all the work that is going on globally. And what we are trying to do... Oh, we have it up. Thanks. Act as a clearinghouse for information and to create collaboration amongst those that are doing the work. So I really don't want to get in too much of the way of getting some good information out to you, which my colleagues will present now. But hopefully that gives you a good understanding of what the Domain Name Association is, what our role is, and what we're doing moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that introduction. So I think we're moving now into the agenda. Are you first? Okay, so if you could go ahead, please, and introduce yourself.
Sure. Thank you, Heather. My name is John Nevitt from Donuts. We are a registry operator that applied for quite a few TLDs in this round. We wanted to give some statistics on the first page. There are already 320 new TLDs delegated. We're responsible for about half of those at this point. 53 are in Sunrise. 31,000 names are in the clearinghouse, which is a bit lower than expected at this point. 65,000 claims notifications have been sent to trademark holders. Nearly 1.3 million domain names registered, and there's some geographical disbursement there, 22% in the U.S., 17% in Germany, 6% in the U.K. And it's early. It's early in the process. Many of the highly contested TLDs are not yet out, not yet delegated, so we should see many more to come. We were asked to talk about trademark protections for the new TLDs. On the next slide, this is some alphabet soup, but there's the URS, the UDRP that's been existing, the TMCH, the PDTRP, and the Sunrise process. And in the early days, the URS is operating reliably. That's a takedown notice and process for cyber-squatted domain names. The results are comparable to the UDRP, even with the higher standard. This is 85% have been won by the complainant. The clearinghouse has been functioning reliably. There's been relatively few Sunrise registrations, which we found to be interesting and as we predicted. And then certainly some registrants are registering names after claims notices are being received, including the trademark holder themselves. When they register a name, they get claims notices. Next slide, please. Many registries themselves adopted additional trademark protections. For example, because we applied for so many TLDs, we have a blocking system where any trademark holder can buy a block for 5 years across all of our TLDs. And that's not only an exact match of their trademark, but it's also when the trademark is contained in a name. So it could be Verizon.guru across all of our TLDs, or Verizon Phones, for example. Other registry operators have adopted similar programs, in addition to including Rightside, who's speaking later. We've got really good feedback from the trademark holders on this blocking process. Over 50% of the world's top brands have purchased our DPML block. Again, it's a 5-year process, and there's an override for existing or other trademark holders with the same name. So, for example, United and United, or Delta and Delta. One point that we wanted to make was that independent protections that are adopted by individual registries aren't necessarily appropriate for all registries, so it might not be a regulatory solution, but we at the DNA have been working on best practices, and we're sharing information and trying to make sure that if something's working for one of us, that we'll share that information and try to have the others adopt similar programs for trademark protection and other purposes. So with that, I'll move it on to the perspective of a registrar, a registrant.
One more slide for you.
I'm good. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, John. So my name is Jeff Eckhouse, and I work for Rightside. And Rightside is the corporation that owns Enom and Name.com, both top 10 registrars, and together on our platform, that is 15 million domain names on our platform. I'm also ex-vice chair of the Registrar Stakeholder Group and helped negotiate the 2013 RAA, so I'm very close to many of the topics and issues at hand concerning registrars and registrants. And I'm here today to discuss the impact of the recent trademark and abuse protections on registrants. As registrars, our channel represents, as you could say, the retail portion of the domain registration experience. We're the ones who touch the customers, who speak to the customers, provide the support to customers. And as a business, we want to provide these registrants with our customers with as seamless an experience as possible. So it's our goal to provide this in a very straightforward and reliable experience during this process. They come to our website with the intention in mind of buying the domain name, and as you can imagine, we would like them to have a good experience, to understand what's going on, understand all the implications, and especially for those that are not familiar with this space. I think for us, we've been involved in ICANN, the domain registration process, for so long, but we have to remember there are so many people that are just starting out their business, just starting out a website about their lives, their interests, and they really don't understand what all the rules are concerning domain names. So with that in mind, we try and provide them with a registration path that is stable, frictionless, and that will give them all the information they need. As I said, while this is what we strive for, it is not always the case. The next slide. The new requirements in the 2013 RAA include both who is validation and there is verification as well. So every registrant must periodically verify their who is information. There are certain triggers that bring that about. And they must also validate their address so it's in the proper UPU format. So these are some of the new protections that have been brought on. There's flexibility to how this is done among registrars. Different registrars have different business models and different touch points. So we have seen a few different methods, but the primary mechanism has been an email from the registrar where the registrar must click a link to validate the WHOIS data. Unfortunately, what we've seen is that this email that comes through is often ignored by the registrant because for many, this is not what happened in the past. It's a change to what they're used to. And we are collecting evidence now, and I think as the registrar stakeholder group, I think we'll be sharing that information. But we have seen some registrars are seeing up to a 50% drop in domain registrations as their registrants don't click on the validation or verification emails.